I'd like to share with you this morning some thoughts on the statement that God made in the Old Testament, and Peter quotes in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Be holy, for I am holy. Let's begin this study at the beginning in Genesis, where God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the garden. In Genesis 2, God said to Adam, you're free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only restriction he had. Later, in the 25th verse, it says that Adam and Eve were both naked and they felt no shame. The innocence of a little child who takes off his clothes and runs through the house, that's what Adam and Eve had. They were pure. But then in chapter 3, Satan tempts Adam and Eve, and they did eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says that both their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. Verse 22 says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. Us being God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're all right there. He said, that man has become like one of us because he knows good and evil. From that time, from the time Adam ate of that tree of knowledge, from that point forward, all of mankind has known good and evil. It's a natural instinct within man that we have those understandings of what is good, what pleases God, and what is evil, what displeases God. But the fact is that we tend to lean towards the evil side. Man tends to lead towards the evil behavior more than towards the good. In chapter 6, it says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made man, and his heart was deeply troubled. And that's when he sent the flood. He wiped the slate clean, so to speak, except for Noah and his family, because everything that man thought of was turning out bad. Scripture speaks of humans as unrighteous from a young age. Genesis 8:21, the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's not too far after we're born that we start getting ourselves into trouble, because it's just a natural inclination to do what is not pleasing to God. So it seems like almost an impossible challenge for us to live up to God's command. Be holy, for I am holy, when our inclination is to do just the opposite. Well, let's see if we can develop a plan that will help us do what he's asking us to do today. The first step in becoming holy is to acknowledge that we are sinners. And I hope my introduction to you has explained that we all have that inclination. We all have that desires to do the things we know we shouldn't do. So we need to accept that. We need to acknowledge that we all are sinners and that that is our tendency. However, we also want to blame others for being sinners. It's a real natural instinct for us to blame our parents, blame our environments that we grew up in, our evil companions, or the lack of self-discipline, which if that's really an excuse. But that's what we try to do. We try to minimize sin. The attitude that I know I shouldn't lie, I know I shouldn't steal, I know I shouldn't cheat, or whatever sin you want to put in that phrase. But you know, I don't do it very often. And when I do it, it doesn't hurt anybody else. And I don't think it's really that serious when I sin. That's an attempt to minimize the sin. In our own minds, we trivialize sin. We think of it's not a big deal. But God puts sin, all sin, in the same category. Even a white lie is in the same list as murder. In Proverbs, the sixth chapter, he says there's six things that the Lord hates, even seven. Number one, haughty eyes. Now, that's not a phrase we use today, but what it means is that we're looking down on others. We're better than everybody else. We have a proud heart. He hates that. Number two, a lying tongue. Oh, there's that white lie. It's in the same list. Because number three is murder. You see, there's no minimizing of sin in God's eyes. Sin is sin. And he's unhappy. He hates it. He hates that it's in our lives. There are no little sins in the eyes of God. So we don't want to minimize our own sin. So step one to being holy is to acknowledge that we do sin. 1 John 1:8 declares, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But the good news is in verse 9. "If we confess our sin, he," meaning God, "is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What a phrase. He's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is being holy. Step two, based on those passages, we have to confess our sins. We have to confess it, number one, to get God's forgiveness, and number two, to become holy, to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. We must acknowledge sin in our lives to ourselves most of all, because we want to cover that up. We want to hide that from ourselves and others. But we are sinners, and we need to confess those sins to God before we can receive his forgiveness. Did Adam confess his sin? No. He blamed Eve. Did Eve confess her sin? No. She blamed that snake, Satan. Did Cain confess his sin for killing his brother? Nope. He said to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" As if that left him off the hook. We have a tendency to not confess, to not own up to our sin. We minimize it. We blame others for our sins. Anything to get out from under the responsibility of who we really are and what we have been doing. But John is telling us to own up to our sin. Confess our sin to the Lord. And that way we will have forgiveness and we will be moving towards becoming holy, cleansed of all unrighteousness. Later in 1 John, the second chapter, we find this. "I write this to you so that you will not sin." You know that I don't have this in my outline, but the one characteristic that we're going to have to follow is to be holy, is to be in God's Word. All the answers are there. All the warnings are there. All the commands are there. We need to be in His Word if we're going to be holy. So He says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our advocate. He died on the cross so that we could be cleansed of our sin, so that we could have that remission of sin that Acts 2:38 talks about. So that's the number one cleansing. But what about after we're baptized? How long does it take a person, do you think, before they sin again? A day? A week? An hour? That's just us. That's just human nature. But when we sin, after baptism, after we are a part of the Lord, we are one of His children, we have an advocate with Jesus. An advocate is like an attorney that presents your case. Jesus is going to take your confession of your sin to the judge, God, and He's going to lay out your case, and God's going to forgive your sin. So that's cleansing number two, number three, number four, number five. You get the idea. It's an ongoing thing. I don't think any of us can say we've totally given up sin. It's just part of our life. So, step three to becoming holy is that we need to be sanctified. And that's what sanctified means, is to be set apart to become holy. Our purpose in life is to be holy. Each of us who call ourselves Christians, we are on a journey towards sanctification. You don't have to be sinless to be holy. You just have to be focused on the object of your journey, which is to become sanctified, to become holy. That's our whole journey. That's our whole purpose. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. That's what what is His will for our life is, that we be sanctified. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. It's a matter of control. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. I don't have this on my slides, but do you remember what happened right before Cain killed Abel? God came to Cain, and He says, Cain, sin is at your door. He was warning him, and God says to Cain, you have to master it. You have to control it. Sin in our lives, it's up to us. We have to master it to be sanctified. So, how do we process along this journey of sanctification? Depends on how diligent we are with our spiritual resources. Daily Bible reading is the key. Taking our thoughts to God in private prayer, essential. Regular worship here at church, hearing lessons, partaking of the Lord's table, they're all things that will help us move on that road, move on that journey of sanctification. But it's a never-ending battle. It's a constant battle. You know, it seems strange to me that we have so many doctrines, spiritual doctrines, being taught today that are contrary to God's Word. Modern Christianity would have you believe that there is no work involved in your salvation, that your salvation can't be earned. As a matter of fact, the passage that was read this morning says that we can't earn our salvation, and that's true. Because that is by God's grace. It is a gift from God, our salvation, our forgiveness. But the road to sanctification is filled with work. It's a total journey of work and battling every day to overcome, to master those sin temptations that are in our lives. All kinds of work are involved in sanctification. They say things like, once saved, always saved. That's not what the Bible says. The idea that we don't have to work towards holiness is far from the Bible, far from what God teaches. But once we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, once we have been baptized for the remission of sin, we are on that journey of sanctification. If you want to open your Bibles to Romans 7, we're going to read quite a passage in that chapter. I've heard people stand up in the pulpits of different churches of Christ and teach that this passage is talking about an unconverted man, a sinner, or that it's an inexperienced Christian, not emotionally developed, an immature person. But I think the passage I'm about to read is Paul talking to us about his struggle for sanctification. And the reason I think that is in verse 22. I think only an experienced Christian, one who has a close relationship with God, can say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He's telling you that his whole heart is really centered on God, on his commands, on what pleases God. His whole being is to be holy. But Paul says, verse 14, for we know that God's law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, which is sinful because of Adam. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, me as a human being. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of the Lord in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. This is the Apostle Paul telling us, relating to us exactly what we're struggling with when it comes to sanctification. Remember, Paul started out killing Christians, and he made that tough journey to sanctification to become the most prolific writer of the New Testament. Most of the New Testament books are written by him. I think Paul was sanctified, don't you? I think he was living a holy life. But he says, it's a struggle. It's a battle. Sanctification is a progressive improvement in our lives towards holiness. Sanctification is not a one-time achievement like salvation is, but it's a lifetime progressive improvement, becoming more holy. As we grow and mature in Christ, we should be living less and less to satisfying the desires of our flesh. And we should be living more and more in the spiritual, holy, pleasing things to God. That's what the sanctification journey is all about. Paul also wrote in Philippians 3, "Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect." You know, I think sometimes Christians have a struggle with saying they're a sinner. But I think the Bible tells us that. That is our natural inclination. So Paul says, you know, I just want everybody to know that I'm not perfect. I haven't achieved perfection. We should never take that position in our lives that we've made it. We've conquered sin. We're the best we can be. It's not what the Bible says. Then he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's our journey. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been washed free of those at baptism. And now as we go through life and we have those temptations, we can go to God. We can go to Christ, confess our sins. He'll take that to God and we are forgiven. We are moving towards sanctification, that process of holiness. Well, on that journey, we have one big advantage. We don't have to do it all ourselves. We have a pattern. We have an example, a perfect example. We're told that we are to conform to the image of Christ. That's our pattern. And it's an easy pattern to follow. I'm building something now that I ordered over the internet. And they gave me a PDF to download, and it's got, I don't know, probably 12 pages to build this little simple thing. But I'm struggling with those instructions, those patterns, because they just don't make it come alive for me. A lot of information, but I'm having a struggle with it. Not true with Jesus. The information, the pattern, everything about Jesus, what he wants us to be in our lives, is in the Word. Romans 8 tells us that before God made the world, he laid out this pattern. And in verse 29, it tells us that we are to be conformed to Jesus, to the image of Jesus. In the fifth verse of Romans 8, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." That's what sanctification is. Our focus is on spiritual things. Our focus, our activities are towards being holy. Are you more interested in fulfilling your fleshly desires, having a good time? Are you focused on pleasing the Lord? Verse 6 of Romans 8 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's sanctification. Those are five things that I came up with. I'm sure there's a lot more that we could have put up here, but clock says I don't have any more time. You know, I know most of you, I know you, that you've been in the Lord's body for a long time, many years. And I developed these thoughts because I find myself, and I think it's true of most of us, that we become complacent with our Christian life. It's like we're coasting along until Jesus returns. Sometimes we just need to take an account of who we are, what we're about, and where we're headed. I thought that was a good introduction to the reading. It tells us where we've been, where we're headed. That's exactly what this lesson is all about. Paul is encouraging us to press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And we need to be pressing that until the day he returns. If you're in the audience today and you haven't started that journey, we would certainly encourage you to make that start. And it is a journey. You're not going to be all God wants you to be the first day. But if you start that journey towards holiness, sanctification, he'll be pleased with your effort. We're not all going to be perfect. None of us is going to be perfect. But we have a journey and we have a responsibility to please God and to live up to his expectation, and that is that we be sanctified. If you have any need this morning, we invite you to come forward as we sing this song, and one of the elders will help you in your need.